Tonight, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to veer off of the subject of the end times. And so, hope you're not disappointed. I know some of you came to hear the end times, but just praying about what the Lord would have me to speak on this evening, or bring forth from His Word here this evening. And we're going to go with something a little more seasonal this evening. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I hope you love Thanksgiving as well. I had some great news yesterday. I called home, and Jan was, we were on the way home, the girls and myself, and we called, and she said, "Hey, I have a Thanksgiving dinner ready to go." Just felt like, you know, early, a little ahead of time for Thanksgiving, so we had a turkey breast, we had mashed potatoes, we had stuffing, we had green bean casserole, we even had pumpkin pie. I mean, it was the whole deal. I hope you ate dinner tonight. I'm not trying to make you hungry, but we had that last night, and we were able to have leftovers this evening. Oh, it was wonderful. But we love Thanksgiving time. Our kids got talking, and they were talking about their favorite things of Thanksgiving, and ultimately it steered towards food. And a lot of times we have the privilege to be with some of our relatives who are some country folks, some farmers and such, and let me tell you, they know how to cook. I have one aunt who always makes homemade noodles, homemade beef and noodles, and there's nothing like homemade noodles. And so I have other relatives who grow sweet corn, and so every year at Thanksgiving they have sweet corn, and it's not like you get at Walmart, and the kids were talking about that. This is homegrown sweet corn, and just thinking through this and talking through the different things of Thanksgiving, being with family, and food, and just rejoicing in God's bountiful goodness to us. And so I love the Thanksgiving season, and we got an early head start on it. But you know, I think this is seasonal to look at this tonight in a number of ways, because of the circumstances going on around us, because of the time of the year. I want to take this evening and look at some truths here from God's Word. You know, it's the month of November. We're supposed to be thankful. But isn't it easy to complain? Isn't it easy to look around and to not be satisfied with things? And so we want to look at a few verses. We want to look at four verses this evening. Just four key verses that are actually synonymous verses. And we want to see what God has for us here this evening. So turn in your Bibles with me, first of all, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I appreciate Mrs. Darby helping me. She's actually putting the verses up here. So they are on the overhead there, or on the, not the overhead, the screen. Thank you, on the projector. But let's read through these verses, and let's see the common thread here that we see. Notice the first one there, Colossians 3:17. Notice this. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Okay, so we read this verse, but think about this with me. Think about this. Think about the first two words, "and whatsoever ye do." That pretty much covers everything I do. And it even gets more specific, in word or in deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So the first one there, Colossians 3:17. The next one, over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, a synonymous passage with Colossians 3. If you look at the passage there, and we will look a little more detailed here in a few minutes, these passages are very synonymous. But notice Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says this, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So once again, in the first verse, whatsoever you do, this one, giving thanks always and for all things. And then it's interesting, unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The name of our God is mentioned there once again. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The next one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And notice this one, in everything. Not just you know, in the things I like, not just one or two things. But notice this, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. And the last one, familiar verse there, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always, all the time. And again, I say rejoice. Okay, so these four verses here this evening we are going to look at. You say, well, what do we learn from these verses? Well, it's pretty clear, right? We can't really miss it. It is God's will for me to give thanks at all times in everything. It's God's will for me. That is God's plan for us. And we hear that, and what, I don't know about you, but what is your initial reaction to this? I mean, I know what my initial reaction, okay, great, but how many times do we hear the word but? That's, you know, the next word that comes. But let's be honest. You know, it sounds good, but is God asking us to do something that's just far beyond us? What about when bad things happen, or even sinful things? Are we still supposed to give thanks? You know, we tend to be thankful for the good things, and we tend to gripe about the bad things. You know, I was thinking about this just over the last few weeks, just throwing out some circumstances. I was talking to my sister this week, and we were talking on the phone. She texted me, and she said, hey, I just thought I'd let you know I have COVID. And so she lives outside of Pittsburgh, her, and she went out to eat with a couple ladies in the church, and there seems to be an outbreak in the ladies of the church. So they had to close school, they closed church, they are live streaming now, and they have a COVID outbreak. Is she supposed to give thanks because she had COVID? Yeah. Okay. What about this? She also mentioned while we were talking, they had to put their cat down. Their cat of many, many years. I mean, this cat, like, way outlived his lifespan. And they had to put him down. And that was tough. In everything, give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Are you serious? Is this what this means? I had a principal of a school call me on Monday. I was in my office, I was just in there for 5 minutes, and I got a phone call from this principal. And he's like, hey, do you have a minute? I just need to ask what you would do in this situation. And he had a couple teens that had snuck behind their parents' backs and done some things that were very bad, very sinful. And yet they had revival meetings and the teens came forward and repented without being found out. They repented on their own. Are these things we rejoice in? When teens are committing sin like this? It can be the little things in life. Two weeks ago, Brother Spatz and I were driving in the morning, coming from the same direction. I forget if he was in front of me or behind me, but I pulled out of our housing development. We got on the road, and there was a car in front of us that was going 10 to 15 miles per hour below the speed limit the entire way here. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you're on a flat, straight stretch, and they brake for no reason whatsoever. And it's like, I've got to get there. We're on a schedule. And we pull in the parking lot, and Brother Steve and I both get out, and he says, that was beyond trying my patience. And I was feeling the same way, and we were laughing together. It's like, what can you do on the single-lane roads through the woods when you get behind that car, right? Are we supposed to rejoice and give thanks at a time like that? Who feels like it, right? How about politics? How about the election? How about the politics of our nation right now? You know, I've heard a number of people in the last week troubled, not liking the direction of our country, social unrest, political division, losing our freedom, election fraud, media being one-sided, wicked people seeming to gain control of things. You know, you hear of all these things in the news. Is this troubling? How am I supposed to respond? Do you mean to tell me I'm supposed to be giving thanks in this? One of my former teachers from when I was in high school, probably the teacher that impacted me the most, my mentor, he's one of my coaches, one of my teachers, godly family. Just a couple weeks ago, their 34-year-old daughter passed away from cancer. Just 2 weeks ago. She was a wife. She was a mother of one child. In everything, give thanks. Let's be honest. I don't always feel like giving thanks. And how can God expect us to give thanks in everything? This type of response, honestly, is not in my flesh. We were talking about this last night a little bit in family devotions. In Elena's words, what are we supposed to do? Copy and paste a smile on our face? You know, in the copy and paste age? But how can we respond by giving thanks? Flip over with me to Job chapter 1. Is it possible? And of course, the answer is yes. You know, as we look at these verses, is it possible? Look with me in Job chapter 1. We look at the life of Job here. In Job 1, God is bragging to Satan about Job. If you look with me here, as Satan comes, God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Verse 8 there of chapter 1. And Satan says, "Well, you've set a hedge about him." And God says, "Okay, you can touch his substance, what he has." And what does Satan do? Well, he takes away his livestock. He kills all, through a storm there, he kills all 10 of Job's kids. And notice the response of Job. Look down in verse 20. Job arose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Hey, we can live this way. We can live in a continual state of thanksgiving. Job is an example of this. You say, how can we do this? How can I have that kind of a response? Well, let's take a look at it here this evening. As we look at these four verses, let's look at them in their context. And let's see, okay, how can I live this way? God wants so much more for me than to live my life being dominated by circumstances and just to be griping as things happen and to be living the roller coaster life with my emotions. And so let's take a look at these verses. Flip back with me to Colossians chapter 3 and let's look at the passage surrounding this first verse here. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. This is far better than anything the world could advise us. Take a look with me, Colossians chapter 3, and notice this verse as it says, "Whatsoever ye do." Now it's talking about our actions. Okay, so this is specifically focusing whatsoever ye do, in whether in word or in deed. Notice this, "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Notice, it's talking about our actions, it's talking about our words, it comes out in our speech, it comes out in our actions, but notice where everything begins. You know, it doesn't begin on the outside, it begins within, it begins in our hearts. As we look at this passage, it's talking to Christians, "Hey, if ye then be risen with Christ," here in chapter 3, verse 1, And it tells us there are some things we should put off. And there are some things we should choose to put on. Just like we get dressed and we put on a jacket, we put on a shirt, we put on a tie. Hey, put on these things. As you see there in verses 12 and 13 and 14, above these things, above all these things, put on charity. But notice verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We need to allow God to work, to rule in our hearts. Notice verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all things, in all wisdom. Letting God's word rule in our hearts. It begins on the inside. This is where it begins. You see, where is our focus then? As we are seeking the Lord, as He is changing us from the inside, notice there, we do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so as I am living in this way, the focus is not on the circumstances, the focus is on the Lord Jesus Himself. As I do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, you know, whether in word or deed, I can give thanks to God and the Father by Him. But I'll be honest, when I'm just looking at the news, when I'm looking at the things around me, when I'm looking at just the busyness of life and what I want to do, this does not come naturally. You see, the key is the focus on the Lord Jesus. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5, synonymous passage. Turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 5. And notice this verse as well. Is it even human to think this way? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, our flesh doesn't naturally think this way, but notice this passage once again. Look at this passage, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Notice the progression of this passage. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, what is God's plan for us as believers? It is better than just living life in the strength of our flesh. What is God's plan? Hey, don't be drunk with wine. Just as some people drink alcohol in excess, and what happens to them? That wine controls them. That alcohol controls them. You know, on TV, this can be portrayed as funny, right? On the Andy Griffith Show, you've got Otis, who would stagger in as the town drunk. And they would portray it as kind of funny. But have you ever been around drunk people? It's not funny. You know, it's sad. We had some extended relatives. And this couple, it seems like every time they would come around, they would be drunk. And I was fishing with their son. And we were sitting there on the dock fishing. And the mom just would come out, what are you using for bait? And she could hardly talk. And we just said, worms. And 2 minutes later, she comes out and says the same thing. And she's lost all control. That alcohol is totally controlling her speech, her walking, her thinking. It's controlling every area of her life. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Hey, don't be filled with our flesh. Be filled with God's Holy Spirit. You see, as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, but are we filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the result of being filled with the Spirit? Look with me here at the next verse. Similar to back in Colossians chapter 3, it said this there in verse 16 in Colossians chapter 3, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Once again, where does it begin? It begins on the inside. There's a song in my heart. As I am filled with God's Holy Spirit, rather than filled with Jay Bradford's ugly flesh. You know, it's totally different. He'll produce the fruit of His Spirit. And notice this, giving thanks always. Thanksgiving is going to flow naturally when I am filled with God's Holy Spirit. Are we filled with God's Spirit? You know, this is not the natural default setting of our flesh. You know, your computer has certain default settings. It'll naturally revert to that. You know, my phone, every once in a while, I have to turn off my phone so it reboots. So it goes back to the default settings. Your car, the settings on your car, they're natural default settings. Your computer. You know what? We are programmed with default settings. You want to know the default setting in my life? It's the flesh. We're made of flesh. If I just get up and live, I'll just kind of live and do what I want to do. And it's a dangerous way to live. You know what? God has called us to so much more. And what is that? He says, hey, present your body a living sacrifice. You know, when I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, here I am, use me, fill me with your Spirit, and I seek the Lord, it changes everything. It changes our perspective. It changes us from the inside out. And that is exactly what is talked about here in Ephesians chapter 5. And that's how we can give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Flip over to the next one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Notice this one, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Do you think God really means in everything? I mean, everything? Can't it just be the things I like? You have a hard day at work, hey, in everything give thanks. You get behind that slow driver and everything, give thanks. Cars can be the biggest pain, can't they? When you have car trouble, hey, in everything, give thanks. What happens when my kids are misbehaving? Mom, you're at home with the kids and it is just one of those days. It is a rainy day. You're trapped inside. They're at each other. You know what? In everything, give thanks. Notice this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you know God has a far greater plan than what I have? His plans are so much greater than mine. It is so easy to just look at things from my perspective and what I want. Oh, I could have told you the exact way that election should have gone and exactly what should have happened. Or I could have told you exactly, you know, whatever we're talking about. But what does God say? In everything, give thanks. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are arrested unfairly. They're not just arrested. In Acts 16:23, what does it say? When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, not just into prison, into the inner chamber, and put their feet in stocks. Is that what they deserved? No. And what does it say? At midnight, Paul and Silas were griping and complaining. Why did this happen to us? No, that's not what it says. What were they doing? It says they were praying and they were singing praises to God when all of a sudden an earthquake took place. Boy, wouldn't you be tempted to gripe and complain at a time like that? Lord, I'm living for you. I'm doing what you've called me to do. You see, we have life so easy in our country. But what a difference. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Acts chapter 8, flip back with me to Acts chapter 8, if you would, please. Acts 8. I mean, this is just, it's hard to comprehend. We have life so good and so easy. But in Acts chapter 8, look at verse 1. Chapter 7, Stephen was just martyred. And it continues here into chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Notice verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Notice this, not griping and complaining, but preaching the word. Preaching the word in the midst of this persecution. You see, in everything we can give thanks because God has a far greater plan than what we have. If I was those disciples, I would have much rather stayed together in Jerusalem and fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company. But you know what? God had a far greater plan. He sent a little persecution their way. Not just a little. He sent a lot of persecution. Stephen martyred for the faith. And yet through this, God in his infinite wisdom and love for mankind sent these folks everywhere preaching the gospel. And they were faithful to him. You see, the more plush or the more lavish society we have, the less thankfulness tends to abound. You know, our thankfulness isn't based on our circumstances. It's not based on our feeling. It's based on our belief in the person of God and his purpose for us. Philippians 2, I know I've quoted these other times when I've preached, when I had the opportunity to preach. They are such good verses. Philippians 2, verses 13 through 15. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it goes on to say, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God has a plan that is far greater than my plan, so I can give thanks in everything. You know, I can trust him. He loves me. He wants what's best for me. He knows what I need to grow. He knows what he needs to do to accomplish his purpose. It's far greater than my plan. If I was to develop my plan for my life, it would tend to be a little easy. It would tend to be a little soft. I like comfort. That's my flesh. But we can give thanks in everything because of who God is. Notice the last one. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Our last one here. Philippians chapter 4 here this evening. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4:4, notice this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but notice the verses right before this. Notice what he says right before this. He's addressing some of the ladies for not getting along. He's greeting the Philippians here, addressing different things. But notice what he says. He says, hey, let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, let me say it again, rejoice. Rejoice. And notice what he goes on to say here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Notice this, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice, notice this, in the Lord always. Once again, where's the focus? You know, it doesn't start outwardly, it starts within. Where is my focus? Is my focus in the Lord each day? The things that I do. As it tells us to make our requests known unto him, make them known unto God. That's where our focus is. You know, I don't know if you've read The Hiding Place, the story of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie and her sister Betsy in the concentration camp in Germany. I remember reading this when I was younger. Corey was griping about the fleas. And her sister, they ended up praising the Lord for the fleas because the guards wouldn't come in there because of the fleas. Hey, we can rejoice in the Lord always. You say, what about COVID? What about this pandemic? This wasn't the plan for me. You know what? We can rejoice in the Lord in the midst of a pandemic. Have you seen God's goodness in the midst of this? You know, we've talked as a family, some of God's blessings to our family through this. You know, it was a busy time, and all of a sudden in March, everything came to a crashing halt. You know, it was so good for our family just to slow down. And just as a family, things didn't totally slow down because school picked up because we had to do all the distance learning. But just as our family to spend time together in the evenings, we had nothing to do all of a sudden. We were home together. It was wonderful. We played basketball in the driveway, all five of us playing in a game. The kids were shocked at my wife's shooting ability. Don't mess with her. The girls were like shocked. But it was just the Lord's goodness. It was just what we needed at the time. You know, God is good. Have you seen God's goodness through the pandemic? Hey, let's rejoice in the Lord always. Even when things don't go the way we may exactly want them to go, we can rejoice in the Lord. You know, praise the Lord for our country. You know, I am concerned with the direction of our country. Some of the things you see, you turn on the news, it's concerning. But you know what? We can sure rejoice. We don't have to be anxious. Just as it says in this passage, hey, be anxious for nothing. You say, okay, but you don't understand. We're having our freedom stripped. Our country's never seen this unrest. I mean, our country's changing morally. We're reaping some of taking God out of the schools and teaching kids their animals, and we're reaping the consequences of that. Yes, our country needs revival. So what can we do about it? You know what God says? Be careful for nothing. For nothing. Boy, I'm tempted to be worried, to be anxious. But notice what he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He'll give us peace. You see, we can rejoice. He says, I want you to trust even when things don't make sense. That's what faith is. You see, this type of rejoicing that we've looked at here this evening, in these four verses, if we're going to rejoice in everything, what's it going to take? Well, you know, it's really going to take my heart and my focus being in the right place. Just as we see in each of these verses, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that the way I lived my life today? Think about it. Did you live your life like that as well? When we got up, you may have started your day early today. Did you set out, Lord, I'm going to do whatever I do in your name today? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we are filled with his Spirit, as it talks about in that passage. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. I'm yours. Don't fill me with myself, fill me with you. In everything, Lord, I'm going to try to give thanks in everything because I'm going to trust you that this is your will for me today. You know, I hope my day goes like this, but I realize, you know, how often do days go exactly how we plan them? Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can do that as I turn my burdens over to you in prayer. What a privilege that is. You see, when our focus is on the Lord, when we're looking to him, we can give thanks in every situation. It's not just pasting a smile on our face. It's a change of heart. It's a heart that is fixed upon God. You know, too many times we focus on the fruit or on the exterior rather than on the core. So as we leave here this evening, I want to challenge us. What is our homework? Okay? As we go from here this evening, how do I respond to things? spoken as a true teacher and principal, right? What is the homework? What is the quiz? The quiz is coming tomorrow as we face different things. How am I going to respond? And let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself probably much more than to anyone else here. How am I going to respond tomorrow as I face things? As things don't go my way. Hey, let's give thanks in everything. Do you realize God's goodness to us? Think of all the good and perfect gifts that come from above. You know, as we look down through the list, just kind of mentioning some of those things that I mentioned earlier, some of the hard things of life. Talking to my sister, she has COVID. You know, praise the Lord, she's doing okay. Even if the worst case scenario would happen, what if the Lord took her home? You know what? She is a child of God and she knows where she would be. You see, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can give thanks. Their cat died. They had that cat forever. They treated their cats better than we probably treat our kids, okay? I mean, they love their cats. You know what? They had so many good years. She was just really, she said it was hard, but you know what? We were all so thankful. It was time, she said. We knew it. You know, God is good. You know, the principle that I mentioned, calling, aren't you thankful when kids come to you on their own convicted of sin and God is working in their heart and life? Oh, you hate to hear of kids falling into sin, but God is good. You know, God is still working. I mentioned about Brother Spatz and I getting behind the slow driver. Boy, driving in this area will test you if you're out on the roads much. Let's be honest. But you know what? We can be thankful. Lord, thankful I have a good car that gets me where I'm going. Thankful we're safe. Who knows what the Lord was protecting us from that morning? Maybe Brother Steve and I would have collided on the way to work. Who knows? But we were going so slowly that wasn't going to happen. But you know what? God is good. My former teacher, whose daughter is with the Lord now, 34 years of age. You know what? They were such a godly testimony through that. They were praising the Lord for his goodness, even though it was hard. And they know they're going to see her someday. Yeah, it's difficult, but in everything we can give thanks when our hearts are fixed on the Lord. So let's go forward from here tonight rejoicing. But if we're going to do that, it's not something on the outside. It starts in here. Where is my heart this evening? Let's close in prayer and we will go forward. Lord, as we just bow before you, thank you for your word. As we read these verses, boy, these are some tall orders for us. It sounds almost impossible to give thanks in all things and for all things. But Lord, as we know who you are, as we know your will for us, your plan for us, as we really truly start to understand that, you really want what's best for us. And Lord, you want to accomplish a far greater work than what we often envision, whether it be in our personal lives, whether it be in the life of our church, in our country, in the world. Lord, help us to have faith in you. Lord, may we do everything we do to please you. And I pray that Thanksgiving would just flow forth from our lives, not just in the month of November, but throughout the year. Lord, tomorrow morning as we go forward and we face different things, Lord, may we rejoice in you and your goodness, that you would be glorified and folks would see the difference in us, that our light would shine before men, and that they would give you the glory and folks would turn to you. Lord, we live in a dark world and this world needs a light to shine. And Lord, you have given us the mystery of the gospel within our lives, this treasure in earthen vessels. And Lord, may we live our lives in such a way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.